WHO. This is your war correspondent, Jack Cello, broadcasting to you from a great B-29 bomber base on Guam. Almost the last hour, I've been watching one of the most remarkable and one of the most impressive sights that can be seen in this Pacific area. The sight of the great B-29 bombers taking off from this enormous base for what very possibly may be the greatest bomber strike yet against Japan in terms of number of planes taking part. The planes started taking off from this great base while the sun was still very well above the horizon. And now here comes one of the 29s now. That roar, which you may have heard in the distance, was one of the great B-29s taking off, one of the dozens that we have seen leaving from this great airfield, and which, as I have said, have been leaving at intervals, it seems, of almost one every 30 seconds for a long time since the sun first started to decline over the horizon. As the skies have grown gradually darker, we've watched plane after plane take off down the runway with its motors wide open, throbbing with a thunderous roar, coming to the end of that runway almost, it seems, before they have become airborne and have roared off into the skies on the first leg of the trip to Japan. It's a remarkable sight and a thrilling sight to watch these B-29s take off. And it's one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. That was another one just then taking off. These planes, each of them loaded with tons of gasoline and tons of bombs, make a very tense and a very nerve-wracking impression on one for those few critical moments when they're running down this strip that seems to be miles long, waiting to get up enough speed and momentum to take off into the air. It's a very exciting and a very tense and important moment because it's not easy to pick a plane this heavy off the air and to start it out safely with that great load of bombs and of gasoline. But this airborne strike, which has started here from Guam, has been going on, as I have said, in its takeoff phase for what seems to be almost an hour now. And soon we'll have them all off the ground. And then will come another period that has its tension too, the period of waiting for their return. And there went another B-29 then, going down the runway. After they're all off, then we have that period, a period of about 15 hours for the round trip to their targets in Japan and back, a period when the ground crew is here sweat about and wait to learn whether the men whom they sent off in these big silver four-motored planes are going to come back safely from that trip to Japan. For you listening to this wire recording of a broadcast direct from a B-29 base on Guam, that period of waiting won't be very long. It'll be just a short time. But at the end of 15 hours for us here on Guam, the sun will be up, it'll be morning, and we will be waiting here to see these men as they come back in, and I hope then to talk to some of the crew members that took part in this latest strike by the B-29s against Japan and to get their story for you. And now here's another one going out. Another B-29 on its way to Japan. Now we'll wait until those men come back and we can start talking to some of them and getting their story.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a very, very slight pause indicates that those 15 hours I spoke of last night have now passed. We're speaking to you now from an interrogation room of one of the bomb groups which has returned from this strike against Japan. We know now, because of the official announcement, that it was the biggest B-29 operation yet against Japanese territory, with approximately 800 planes taking part from bases in the Marianas, and with some 6,000 tons of bombs being dropped. Already we have with us, ready to talk to our WHO listeners, one of the Iowa Flyers who has returned from this long trip of approximately 15 hours over a target in Japan. He is Sergeant Donald E. Semmelhack of Charles City, Iowa. Sergeant Semmelhack, come on over here to the microphone and tell me, how does it feel to get back from a trip of that length?
It feels pretty good to be back. Be tired after being up all night. I was a right gunner on a 29. We were about the 17th ship over the target. Our particular target was north of Tokyo. Fires were very good. Of course, the results were unobserved at the time, but we did a very good job, I'm sure.
And how many missions does this make for you?
Now, this is my 24th mission.
Your 24th, that means, doesn't it, you've got about 11 more to do?
11 more to go, Roger.
Do you have some folks living back there in Charles City?
Yes, my mother and dad and my sister.
What are their names?
Henry A. Semmelhack and Jane.
And I know that they'd like to hear you say just a word about how you feel right now.
Well, I feel pretty good right now. I'm just seeing a couple of the boys go off, going home. I expect they'll be dropping in on the folks at 10. Just a little tired now, just a little sack time, and I'll be okay.
That's right. They're all tired, naturally, after a triple this time. And Sergeant Semmelhack has really done a good job on this mission. I ran out of others. And I think it's time that we let him go and let him go hit that sack and get some rest. Thanks a lot, Sergeant Donald E. Semmelhack of Charles City. And now the next man with us is Staff Sergeant Robert A. Sinkson, a radio operator of Tuttle, Iowa. Sergeant Sinkson, how many missions does this make for you?
28, sir.
28 missions? You've got about 7 more to do then. What are your parents' names and where do they live in Clinton?
My parents' name are Mr. and Mrs. M.A. Sanction, 242 29th Avenue North, Clinton, Iowa.
And how was this trip over Japan for you?
Well, this was a pretty easy mission. Not much flight, not much anything.
And how do you feel on getting back? Are you tired?
Not kidding.
I'll bet you are. But you want the folks back there to know that you're feeling all right, don't you?
That's right. I'm feeling perfect.
Good. Well, I know they'll hear this broadcast, and I know they'll be mighty glad to hear from you. By the way, don't you have a wife somewhere back in the States, too?
That's right. She's in the Marine Corps in Washington, D.C.
In the Marines. Well, I don't know whether she'll hear this broadcast, but I hope she does. Thanks a lot, Staff Sergeant Robert A. Sinkson of Clinton, Iowa. Our next man is a fellow who really has grounds for being happy this morning because he's just finished his 35th mission in completing this flight over Japan. He is First Lieutenant Robert M. Howe, a pilot from Centerville, Iowa. Lieutenant Howe, tell me how it feels to get the chores done and have that 35th under your belt. Feel pretty good?
Well, I never was any happier, I don't believe.
I'll bet you weren't. And was this last one a particularly rough one for you?
No, the last one wasn't any harder than the first one.
That first one, incidentally, sometimes is pretty hard, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I believe your folks live back there in Centerville, don't they? And you also have a wife. Aren't you also living in Centerville?
That's right, and a son.
And a son. Good. You expect, don't you, to be able to leave here pretty shortly and to head back for Centerville?
Well, the 20th Air Force says we can leave within 48 hours.
Within 48 hours. In other words, unless we move pretty fast and get this broadcast on the air from WHO, you might come close to hearing it yourself. Is that right?
That's right, sir.
Well, boy, I hope you can, because I know nothing in the world would be better for you than to be back there in Centerville with your folks, with your wife, and with your son. We want to say congratulations to you for getting through this 35th mission and being ready to go back to the States. And we're mighty happy for you, First Lieutenant Robert M. Howe of Centerville, Iowa. Here's another Iowa man who's just gotten back, who has just finished his interrogation, and who has come up to the microphone now. We're going to talk to him for a while. Sergeant Wendell W. Woodall, a gunner of Webster City. Sergeant Woodall, how did you find this mission?
Well, this mission wasn't particularly rough compared to the first one.
Compared to the first one. Most everybody seems to find that that first one is the one they remember most of all. By the way, did you find any flak or any fighter opposition?
Oh, they said they saw 4 or 5 bursts of flak, but that was all. No fighters whatsoever.
No fighters at all. Your folks live back there in Webster City, do they?
Yes, they do.
And what are their names?
Mr. and Mrs. Harold I. Woodall, 1614 Seneca Street.
Fine.
I know they're going to be glad to hear from you. Would you like to tell them how you feel this morning now that you're back from this long trip? And tell them also how many missions you've completed with this one.
Well, this is the 21st mission. I feel pretty good. I had quite a bit of sack time this time.
Quite a bit of sack time. That means you got some sleep on the plane coming back?
That's right.
Good. Well, I know you're going to get some more sack time probably pretty quick now, so we'll let you go. Thanks a lot, Sergeant Wendell W. Woodall of Webster City. Now it's time to hear from Tech Sergeant Donald R. Klein, a gunner from Ida Grove, Iowa. Sergeant Klein, how many missions have you completed with this one?
29, sir.
29 missions. How did you find this one over Japan?
Fairly easy.
Did you find any flak or any fighter opposition?
We seen some off the target after we left the target. We didn't have any.
Didn't have any at all yourself. By the way, how does it look when you're over there? Can you see the fires that have been set by the bombs?
Well, if there's no undercast, we can.
In this particular circumstance, though, I understand that most of the results couldn't be observed from the plane. Is that right?
That's right.
I wonder if you'd tell our listeners your parents' names back there in Ida Grove.
My parents are Mr. and Mrs. A.D. Klein, Ida Grove.
And how would you like to tell for their benefit, because I'm quite sure that they'll be listening, how you feel now that you're back from this mission?
I feel like I'd like to go to bed.
I'll bet you do. And we're going to let you go to bed right now because you've put in a mighty long day's work. Thanks very much, Technical Sergeant Donald R. Klein of Ida Grove. The last man to be heard in this series of interviews is Second Lieutenant Joseph E. Weber, an instrument specialist of Marcus, Iowa. Lieutenant Weber, how many missions does this make for you?
This makes 19.
19. Was this one in any way different, more rugged than the others you've had?
No, it's been a good deal like the run of them lately.
Been a good deal like the run of them lately. Does that mean that you and your plane didn't encounter much opposition?
That's right.
Tell me, I've been wondering about these night missions over Japan. There were some 800 in this particular job, the biggest one yet. Is it pretty crowded when you get over a target like that?
Oh, there's still room up there.
Still room? I guess there better be room or it wouldn't be very comfortable, would it? I wonder if you'd tell our listeners your parents' names back there in Maple.
Mr. and Mrs. Amos Weber.
And for their benefit, I'm sure they're listening, will you just give us a few words about how you feel on being back from this particular job?
Well, it's always good to be back.
You bet it's good to be back. I imagine you're pretty tired, aren't you?
That's right.
You're tired, and we know you've got mighty just reason for being tired, so we're going to let you go. We want to say thanks to you also, Second Lieutenant Joseph E. Weber of Marcus, Iowa. And that completes our series of interviews here in this interrogation room of a B-29 bomb group on the island of Guam. Men who have completed their part of the biggest B-29 strike yet against Japan. We're mighty proud to have been able to talk to them and to have been able to bring their voices to you back there at home in Iowa. This is Jack Shelley speaking from Guam and returning you to WHO in Des Moines.